We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there. Because you're listening to this podcast, we at Blue Wire want you to know this. One, we freaking love you. And two, we want to learn more about you. Help us make more content you'll love by filling out a survey you can find in the description of this podcast. You'll help us out a ton, and you'll have a chance to win a Blue Wire t-shirt, hoodie, or a pair of AirPods. We appreciate you, hope you're staying safe, and want you to enjoy this podcast.
The Uncontested Podcast presents Under the Bubble, a special podcast series previewing all 22 teams returning to play at Disney World. We're talking to podcasters, writers, and bloggers who cover these teams to get you all caught up before the NBA is back in action on July 31st. Tune in every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts, for the latest episode in the series.
What is up, and welcome to the Uncontested Podcast, episode 3 of the Under the Bubble series. We are finishing up the Eastern Conference this week. We have some great interviews I'm super excited to get you guys into. But before we do that, just want to let you know, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Drop that 5-star rating while you're at it. And like I said, we're wrapping up the Eastern Conference this week. So 9 teams from the East going into the bubble down in Disney World. This week, we had maybe the architect, the guy who started it all for Disney World and the NBA coming back there, Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports and Celtics blog, and the co-host of the NBA Insiders podcast. He came on and talked with Taylor about the Boston Celtics. Then I had a very fun interview with Adam Corsair, who is the host of the South of the Sixth podcast covering the Toronto Raptors, as we broke down what the defending champs are looking like heading into the bubble. And then lastly, friends of the podcast, Ty Windisch and Rohan Cotty of the Eurostep podcast came on to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks and their quest for a title with Giannis Antetokounmpo. And lastly, let's get you over to Taylor's conversation with Ty and Rohan about the Milwaukee Bucks.
So now we are joined by two fellow members of the Blue Wire family, Ty Windisch and Rohan Cotty, co-hosts of the Eurostep podcast, and that's Euro as in G-Y-R-O. I bet you can guess it. They cover the Milwaukee Bucks. Really enjoy listening to their podcast and their insight. In addition to hosting the Eurostep, Ty is a reporter for the Wisconsin Herd, the G League team of the Milwaukee Bucks, and also writes some really insightful articles on his Patreon account, especially during this lockout. I've been really impressed seeing some of the stuff that he's been tweeting out. So Ty, it's actually his name, and his Patreon is where you can find it. So be sure to check that out as well. And you can find Ty on Twitter at Ty Windisch. Windisch, that's T-I-W-I-N-D-I-S-C-H. And Rohan at R-K-A-T-T-I, Yeah, JR. Sorry. Some of those letters run together. So thanks so much for joining us, guys. We're really excited to have you and talk about maybe the hottest team in the league this season, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. I felt so bad. We had all these complicated plugs. You did it really well, though. Thank you so much for doing that.
Awesome. We appreciate the opportunity.
Well, good, We're appreciative of you guys coming on. And so let's just address the elephant in the room here, guys. How many first-round picks do you think Sam Presti will get the Bucks for Giannis next season?
Oh, hell, we always get ambushed. Whenever we go anywhere, we get ambushed.
We can't let you breathe. Okay. You guys are on Twitter. You see Jason Kidd going to the Knicks to get Giannis to go, you know?
We're well-prepared. We have the accurate response of maybe readjust your expectations.
You guys are like, we'll take all of your first-round picks. We'll take Shea, and we'll also take just about anybody else because nobody's quite.
Yeah, we'll take the naming rights. Yeah, we'll take everything.
Hey, I was listening to your guys' most recent podcast. You guys talked really high on Gallo. Could give you Gallo in there.
Sure. Yeah, you're almost halfway there, I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no. Picks. And even that might be generous.
Maybe,
But I just had to give you guys a hard time because, like I said, I know you guys, especially with the recent Jason Kidd news. I remember being in those shoes and when the whole Kevin Durant thing was going on, and then again with Russell Westbrook, and the second time turned out much better for us. And for what it's worth, I think you guys will be falling into the Russell Westbrook category with Giannis staying, is my assumption. But again, I don't really have any say or insight, but I just had to give you guys a little bit of a hard time to start this off. So just to jump into the Bucks and the resumption of the season and the playoffs coming up, again, they're one of the most interesting teams. So I want to do a quick season recap prior to the break and play. The Bucks were 53-12, which was not only good for first in the East, but was also the best record in the entire league. They're actually up 6.5 games on the second place Raptors, which is pretty incredible. The defending champs, the Toronto Raptors, and they were 6-4 prior to that hiatus. There was a couple games in there, I think three straight games that they lost, mainly due to some injuries, which we'll get into. Actually, that's next. Giannis and Bledsoe were both nursing some knee soreness. Giannis had a kind of a nasty fall a couple games prior to the hiatus. Fortunately, it seems like they probably will be okay and good to go with the season resuming. And then George Hill was in a similar situation, nursing a minor growing injury. But again, from everything I read and everything I've seen, The Athletic and other places, it seems like all three of these players will probably be good to go. Did I miss anybody? And kind of what are your guys' thoughts on those three particular injuries?
It didn't seem like anything was really that significant. Initially, we thought the Giannis injury was going to be a lot worse, considering how bad the fall looked initially. But thankfully, it wasn't anything like super significant. It was just going to be a lot of time off. But it seems like from everything we've heard or haven't heard, maybe, I guess, it seems like everything is on track for Giannis to play potentially in the Orlando restart. Especially, like, it doesn't seem like anyone had any injuries get worse.
Good. Yeah, and that's kind of sorry, go ahead.
Just poor George Hill just absolutely got his nads obliterated by Goran Dragic.
Yep.
And of course your heart stops whenever Giannis holds anything, you know, even when he holds little baby Liam, my heart stops in a different way. But when he's holding his knee, of course, you know, you panic, your heart skips a beat. But George Hill, you just felt immediately so bad.
It wasn't a foul. Oh, sorry, I'm not.
No, we were riled up in the time. We're still slightly riled up. But the funniest thing about when the season stopped for the Bucks is they're 1-4 in their last five games. The worst stretch of the season by far. Their worst stretch since the very beginning of the year when they also looked kind of bad. And like you said, even with that, even with Toronto going on a torrid tear near the last month or so when we actually had games, they still have that crazy lead, which just goes to show how incredible Milwaukee was the rest of the year. But yeah, I don't think they're going to have anybody who, at least any of those injuries that carry over and present any difficulties.
Well, that's another perfect transition because speaking of how hot Milwaukee was and how great of a season they had been having, I have some highlights I want to go over here, kind of get your guys' opinions on, and then get any. I just kind of threw out three of the most obvious to me, and then I want you guys to throw out any others that I may have missed that may not be as well known, things that really stood out to you guys as Milwaukee fans and guys who cover the team. So the first of those are the most obvious, and Giannis, obviously on another MVP run, looking to defend his MVP title. And there's also many analysts right now, well-known analysts who actually have a vote on these things, projecting him to also win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, it's just, it's another insane season for Giannis. It's, you know, it's hard to really comprehend how well he's really doing. especially considering we can cover the team, but it's just Giannis. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, he gets better at everything every year. He has yet to stop doing that outside of the rookie to sophomore season three-point shooting. Shout-outs Jason Kidd, who's already been mentioned way, way too many times.
I'm having flashbacks.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not so great. Fair. But, yeah, I mean, Giannis is just it is hard to say. I mean, how good he's gotten. I mean, he's gained 50 pounds of muscle since his rookie year. He obviously uses every single pound very, very effectively. The three-point shot is sort of coming along. The free throw was coming along for a little while there. He's kind of working on his form there, which, I mean, a lot of people, I think both of us included, think that ultimately could be even more important than the three-point shot. But they're close. Yeah, the DPOY thing hurts because I'm seeing Brook Lopez getting snubbed more and more, but Giannis is obviously a great defender
as well.
That
is fair. Yeah, I've heard the argument for Brook as well, and he definitely deserves to be in the conversation. But somebody else, kind of overshadowed a little bit by Giannis this season, is just how great of a season that Chris Middleton is having. He is getting some – I mean, obviously he was an all-star selection, so it's not like he's not getting a ton of credit or anything, but – when you look at these stats, it's just absolutely incredible, and it's kind of being overshadowed by another incredible year by Giannis and just the Bucks as a whole. Middleton is currently just shy of the notorious 50-40-90 mark, averaging 49.9% from the floor on twos, or I guess overall, 41.8% from three, and a 90.8% from the free throw line, which is just pretty incredible. What are your guys' thoughts on Chris and the season that he's been having?
Well, it goes to show, like, I'm glad he's actually getting a little bit of recognition, even though his he's usually in the conversation for, like, is he actually a good sidekick for Giannis? Like, that's the main topic in which Chris Middleton gets discussed, rather than the fact that he's actually putting up one of the greatest NBA seasons of all time. Well, I mean, like, in terms of his benchmarks.
Notorious group. Yes, right, yeah, fair.
True,
fair.
True, true, true.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Chris Steph Middleton 15, is the most 16, important player on the Bucks.
16 Steph, 01 Shaq, 86 Bird, 20 Middleton. All those names you just put together. 13 LeBron. That's the group.
That's it. Oh, that's awesome.
Besides, like, just like statistical benchmarks, it's like he's actually diversified his game like a lot, in the sense like he's had more freedom in the system in the year two under Coach Budenholzer, because Ty and I have done a lot of dissecting of last year's playoffs and like what went wrong there.
Right.
And we realized, like, compared from this year to last year, that Chris Middleton has so much more free reign to do what he does best in the offense. And he's being able to put all of his skills on full display. And I think that's allowed him to, you know, have such a great season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then speaking of defense that we mentioned earlier with Giannis, it's not just Giannis either. It's not just Chris either, who usually is assigned maybe the best wing on the other team. The defense as a whole, I think, is a season highlight. I'm curious to get your guys' insight on this as well. 101.9 defensive rating, which is first in the NBA, and that goes hand in hand. I believe they're seventh in the total league right now in terms of offensive rating, and that's even kind of gone down a little bit, like you guys said, with kind of a rough February, March. At one point, it was much better than that. And so what are your guys' thoughts on the defense that you've seen from your team this season, and specifically being so great and so dominant?
I think my favorite thing about the defense is that almost everybody on the team is either, like, is better or has improved more than I expected on the defensive end specifically. Like, I think the main Brook Lopez storyline might be his threes aren't falling. His three-point percentage is way down this year. It's hard to say issue, and the Bucks have been the best team in the league, but, like, if you're looking for issues, it might be number one. But I think his defense is even better than last year. I think Wes Matthews is not a guy I would think would be used as an elite defender, even if he is good. But the Bucks go ahead and they'll stick him on James Harden. They'll stick him on LeBron. And yep. He does incredibly well on all of them. He's been great.
A little bit of a defensive resurgence for Wes.
Yeah, I mean, like, his role is so small that people don't notice. I mean, you look at his points per game or whatever, and it's like, oh, whatever, who cares? But if you watch a lot of Bucks, His job on defense, maybe, I can't say that just because Brook and Giannis are so good, but it's really been impressive stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I Couldn't agree more. And when I knew the Bucks were an incredibly sound defensive team, but when I saw that they currently had the highest defensive rating, or the best defensive rating, I should say, I was really blown away. But they've been really fun to watch. And so, like I said, it's a pretty optimistic recap for you guys. The Bucks have been awesome this season, and now we're kind of transitioning now into we're feeling a little more optimistic about the season resuming. For a while there, particularly last week and the week before, it seemed like maybe the season resumption might not go on at least as planned. Maybe some players wouldn't play, but the more and more info we're getting now, it looks like we're going to be continuing the season, and the Bucks can continue that championship push. So, you guys kind of mentioned this earlier, but how did you guys feel the team was trending before the shutdown? Obviously, there's a couple injuries there, but outside of that, kind of as a whole, how are you feeling getting closer and closer to playoffs?
At that point when the season sort of shut down, it kind of felt like the Bucks were sort of in a little bit of a mid-season slump. It's weird to say, like, 1-5 is in their last five games, I think. Yeah, right?
1-4.
1-4, sorry, excuse me. It was by far their worst stretch of the season. It's not even close. So just seeing that was a little bit startling, and especially with injuries. But it was sort of like you weren't getting too concerned because it was a lot of older players getting a little injured, like George Hill, like Kyle Korver. You would expect like a little bit of these things, and it's good that it wasn't necessarily in, you know, like right before the playoffs started, so you can actually have some time to rest and recover. It's just, it felt like they were sort of hitting that mid-season sort of like lull.
Yeah, no, definitely. And kind of to that point, you know, Chris Middleton didn't necessarily have an injury, but they were even kind of resting him, you know. And I actually was interviewing Keith Smith for the Celtics preview, and he mentioned and kind of called it the dog days of the NBA season, because kind of like you guys said, it's just kind of like trying to push and get healthy for the playoffs. But regardless, you know, it's 6-4 of your last 10. They were maybe trending downward a little bit towards the very end, right up to the pause and play. But obviously, they were still not terrible. So how are you guys feeling about your team's 8-game regular season schedule and the seeding? I know we don't have the official schedule yet. I think that will probably be announced sometime in the next week. But we've kind of heard that potentially it'd be the teams that are going to be in the bubble. You would just skip the teams that aren't and finish your season that way. So how would you guys feel about playing those next 8 games and how you guys would fare heading into the playoffs?
I think the highlight is, I mean, obviously there's some good teams because there's mostly good teams left, but I think they're slated to play the Wizards twice in those 8 games against just the bubble teams,
yep.
Which now, and we just got word this week or yesterday or today, I think yesterday, Davis Bertans is not coming.
Bertans is playing, true.
Yeah, so we'll see what Beal wants to do. I mean, he's not an upcoming free agent, but still, I mean, these games are very, very pointless for Washington, who I would bet probably dangerous amount of money that they are not even going to force a play-in game, much less actually make it to the ninth or eighth seed. But so if they get to play Washington twice, then I think it's about as easy of a slate as you can get. But I really think, I mean, this for the Bucks is going to be tune-up games, get back into rhythm. I mean, they're not going to want to go 0-8. I mean, they're competitors, but you see the lead they have in Toronto. They have to win like 2, maybe 3 games to cement the first seed in the East. It's not a 16-team bracket, so you don't have to worry about, you know, the Lakers surpassing them or something like that. There's no real home court because they're all in the bubble. We'll see if they do one of the weird home court advantage things or not. But I think just they're going to look at it as a tune-up, get back into focus, and with the two Wizards games, you couldn't ask for too much easier, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm really glad you brought that up, Ty, because that's something I wanted to run by you guys. What does a team like the Bucks, how do they treat those 8 games? You know, obviously you want to try and balance between gearing up and getting ready for the playoffs, but you also don't want to risk injury to your stars with a chance to win the championship. So how do you think the Bucks will balance those two things?
I think what Ty said, in the sense that it's more going to be like tune-up games, is a good way to put it. It's an opportunity to make sure you're not just jumping into the playoffs without having played basketball for a couple months. So you just get the opportunity to really, you know, get into a rhythm again. And you don't really need to worry about like winning or losing these games. As Ty said, they only have to win 2 games to really lock up the 1 seed. So you can just let your main guys play a little bit, get them warmed up, get them ready to go, and then just, you know, punt the game if you need to. It doesn't really matter for Milwaukee.
Survive in advance.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think for the Bucks, it's even less important because I mean, we'll see how the play-in or whatever shakes out, but they're going to draw one of, like, Brooklyn or Orlando in the first round, and you don't exactly need to be at peak operating capacity for that either. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Bucks said, we get the 8 play-in games that largely don't matter, then we get a first-round series against a team that has virtually no chance of putting up a real fight. Let's really ease the guys back in. I mean, you don't want to give them so few minutes they're not ready for a potential actual test in the second round, but they certainly have some time to get everybody up to speed. And I mean, we see how Bud does rotations in the regular season, even in quote-unquote big games. I don't think we're going to see 40 minutes of Giannis in one of these seeding games, that's for sure.
Definitely. I think that's a really good point, especially bringing up Bud's rotations. But so I've asked you guys quite a bit about your stars and Middleton and Giannis. But what about some underrated players? And Ty, I think you actually were about to bring one up before I interrupted you earlier. Sorry about that. But there's certainly some interesting guys who make this team so good on both ends of the floor outside of just Giannis and Chris Middleton. So who are some of those guys that maybe NBA fans not so familiar with the Bucks need to be looking for and that could really impact the Bucks come playoff time?
Let's both do one quick. Rohan, you go first. Pick an interesting non-Giannis. And you can steal the one I was going to mention earlier if you want to.
Oh, can I?
Yeah, you can.
Dante.
There it is.
Dante it is. DiVincenzo.
That's the name I wanted.
Yes. It's his first time in the playoffs. And he just, from the way, it seems really cliche to say this, but he seems like a postseason player. You know, like a 16-game player. You can get anything you want from him on the court. He can create on offense, even though you hope it doesn't come to that. He will be an insanely smart defender, as he always is. He will always make the good pass, make the good read. He can shoot, he can dribble, he can pass. He can do anything you really need him to do in a small role. So it's prime position for him to have a breakout performance in the postseason, because the postseason is all about like which team can really realistically have more role players break out. That's how you win championships. So if the Bucks can get Dante to really break out during this postseason, that would be fantastic.
I like that. I like that a lot. Ty, who's your guy?
So I got to go with, I mean, I let Rohan take the one that, of course, just being able to say the name Dante DiVincenzo is super right? fun. But since this is on Disney property, how can I not go with Robin Lopez? I mean,
I thought that was the other guy you were going to go with also. He's been really good for you guys.
He has. So it kind of stinks for Robin. I mean, him and Brooke obviously joke about hitting each other. They're both big Disney guys, so that doesn't stink for him. But I think he's just been – he's a different player than Brooke for sure in a lot of ways. But I think I'd say just a little bit less effective on both ends, but not much. And I think that's huge for a Bucks team where we did our Binge the Bucks series going through the last playoffs game by game. Their lack of a credible second center mattered in the playoffs a lot. I mean, like Mirotić was kind of supposed to be the guy – newsflash, he's not that guy. Not even close. But being able to, when teams go big, like your Joel Embiids or whatever, I mean, Steven Adams, if you want to use a Thunder example, those big guys that maybe you don't want to go small against, the Bucks now have two of the biggest, best defensive big men in the league that they can put out there for 48 minutes if they don't want to go small. They're very comfortable going big. And also, anyone who's not familiar yet with tee time, it's going to become familiar with tee time, because that is the beautiful Robin Lopez celebration after he hits a three. He's shooting those now. He's making those.
Sometimes.
Man, the Bucks are fun. Incredible. I miss Bucks basketball.
Incredible. I love it. Yeah, I'm very excited to see that celebration, and pretty incredible to see both Lopez brothers adapt to the NBA and really kind of change or expand their games, I should say, throughout their careers. That's really interesting, and I love both of your guys' answers there. That was perfect. So speaking of players, do you think any players really benefited or maybe even suffered because of the shutdown and quarantine? You know, obviously we mentioned some of the guys with injuries, and maybe the answer is as simple as that. Yeah, the guys with injuries will be healthy again, but do you see any other players maybe that could have either benefited or maybe they were really hot heading into the during the season and now maybe they kind of cooled them down a little bit?
Well, I think the Bucks overall really benefited from this. Like you mentioned, like obviously the injuries, the shutdown helps because, you know, you give players more time to rest and recover. But the Bucks had, like, I think the oldest roster in the league. So you're just giving all of their key players like more time to rest and recover. Ty and I have joked about this on our podcast a lot, but Kyle Korver was starting to get a lot of DNP olds as the season was progressing. So we just getting like key players who can actually hope to contribute in the postseason, getting them rested, getting them ready, I think that'll be a huge plus.
Yeah, I just 100% cosign. I think the way I put it was, I mean, no team was lucky that, you know, this global pandemic happened, obviously. It stinks for everyone pretty uniformly. But, like, as it goes for in the circumstances, given what all the other teams are going through, I think the Bucks were, I don't know, quote-unquote advantaged as much as anybody. I mean, they really, I don't think anybody was playing their best ball when the season stopped. Maybe Dante, but I think he'd been pretty just consistently improving. So, yeah, I think everyone kind of having a hard start and then restart, I think benefits the Bucks the most. But, I mean, I don't think they would have, like, been mired in this slump the whole rest of the season anyway. Right. I think they would have snapped out of it. But it's nice to, you know, get a jolt to get out of it the same time everybody else has to do the same.
No, absolutely. I think that's all really good points, and will be fun to see where the Bucks pick back up. So, speaking of that, when they do take the court again, do you guys expect any big changes in terms of maybe the lineups? You mentioned Bud's lineup rotations earlier. Their conditioning, their style of play, chemistry, whatever it may be. Do you guys see any changes compared to the regular season, or at least when the league went on hiatus?
I don't think so. Because the way that Milwaukee and Coach Budenholzer run this team, Ty may disagree with me here, but it seems a little like it's almost formulaic in the way that they play and that the way that they manage their rotations, their minutes. Obviously, that can change during a postseason, but
we hope.
Yeah, we hope. But that style of play might actually benefit Milwaukee compared to other teams because you don't necessarily have to get into like more of a rhythm, into getting your own like style of play down, in the sense that Milwaukee has a very cookie cutter way of playing, so you can just jump in and know what you're supposed to do. Obviously there's going to be rust, but every single team is going to have a lot of rust to deal with, so if Milwaukee's style of play can actually help them in this situation, I think it can help them.
Yeah, I could see that. I think what's funny is I could sit here and, like, maybe they're going to try playoff lineups more, and we're going to see. No, I don't think that's going to happen at all. I think we're going to see, like, 12 guys in the first game. I mean, I think the Bud response to all of this is going to be, like, Giannis plays 22 minutes the first game, and Chris plays 23 minutes, etc. That's what I imagine. We'll see. I mean, we obviously have no... You know, this is the first time the Bucks have come back from a major pandemic in the Giannis era. So we don't have that much to go on. But I would imagine we're just going to see, like, everybody get some run to get the rust off, which I think the Bucks are more used to that than a lot of teams. So maybe it will help them, relatively speaking.
Yeah, no, I think that's also a really good point. You know, they're a very deep team that goes deep into their bench at times, and that could really pay off for them, kind of adjusting, like you guys said, ramping back up for playoffs, and then at that point just unleash Giannis and Chris.
I think Bud will play all 17 guys in the first game. He'll probably be like, if you're here, you're going to play. Awesome. Like, might play as well.
I love it. That'd be pretty fun. All right, so I have one last serious question for you guys to kind of wrap it all up, and then at the very end we'll do a fun, lighthearted question. So... right now, I want each of you guys to give me your playoff prediction for the Bucks. How many rounds, games, etc.?
Ty, you give your pick first here.
So they sweep the first round. Even if the Bucks are rusty, now those teams are taking a game. Then I think they win in five twice, and then Bucks in six in the finals, and that's the first championship since 1971, and then. Minutes after, the story breaks. Malika Andrews is going to gain all of the favor back with Bucks fans. They saw us a little ire after the story broke, right after the Game 6 loss in Toronto. Story's going to break that he intends to sign the Supermax, and everyone's going to come together, and it's a fairy tale Disney ending. It's
there you go. What a perfect place for it to occur also. Exactly. I love it.
Okay, Ty, you kind of set me up here for a little less of might be partially my bad, but okay, so I will agree. I say they sweep the first round, and again, Ty and I joke about this on our podcast. Maybe a team takes a quarter, who knows? I say they five games in the second round. I say they sweep the Eastern Conference Finals, because I think the second round might be a little more I think it might be a little tougher than for them than the conference finals. That's just my opinion.
Interesting.
Because the threat of maybe Miami in the second round compared to Boston and Toronto in the conference finals, Miami scares me a little more. So I say they sweep the Eastern Conference Finals, five games in the second round. And then it's going to be a tough seven-game series against the Lakers. But I think the Bucks pull it out.
I
got to go with Milwaukee in this one. And Ty, I will steal your idea and say the Supermax story comes out too.
Perfect. Well, I love it. That it's a perfect way to put a bow, like you guys said, on the Disney World resumption of the season. And that'd be really awesome. I'd be stoked for you guys. And obviously, we'll be rooting for the Bucks to pull that off, because I think it'd be a really fun story. But now, right before we get out of here, it wouldn't be right for me to bring you guys on the podcast and not play this quick game with you guys, considering the two twins you have on your team, or the two brothers you have on your team. So since the league is rooming in Disney World, I'm going to name a Disney character, and I want you guys to tell me who from your team most closely matches that character. I'm going to pick five of them. So the first one is the most obvious. I feel like I have to throw this one out for each team. Mickey Mouse, the icon.
It's got to be Giannis, right? Main character, main storyline revolves around him. It's got to be Giannis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it does have to be Giannis. I wanted it to not, just because I'm not like a huge Mickey guy, but I think it does make a lot of sense.
I like it. So I'm going to throw this one out because I feel like this one could be applicable to a couple guys on your team. Goofy.
Ooh, I said Brook Lopez. he always likes to make light of things. It's not anything super serious. It's all fun and games. So I'm going to go with Brook Lopez here.
I think that answer makes a lot more sense. I don't know why this player came to my head immediately when you said the name. I saw Ersan Ilyasova in my head. I'm just going to go with it. We're going to make Ersan Goofy.
There you go. I like it. I like it. Former Thunder player also. I like it. So Hercules, the muscle guy on the team.
Oh, Bledsoe. Guy is Bledsoe. Jacked.
Yeah, it's got to be Bledsoe.
Interesting. I like that. I like that answer. I thought you guys might go with like Robin or somebody. I like that answer a lot more though.
Bledsoe's got like muscles on muscles on muscles.
Man,
like it's not even.
That's awesome. Let's go with Tigger next. Who's like somebody that's really explosive, full of energy?
Oh, it's Dante.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, you didn't have Dante. Wow. That's good too. Thanasis is good for that.
Yeah, he's someone who's always going to fight hard till the buzzer sounds, even if it really annoys the other team. So I got to go with Giannis's brother, Thanasis.
I like it. Interesting. Yeah, those are two good ones. Well, my last one for you guys is one I actually haven't brought up on any of the season previews yet, but this one's kind of fun and I think kind of applicable to basketball. Who's the Lightning McQueen from Cards for the Milwaukee Bucks?
Ooh, Ty, what's yours?
I mean, the likable underdog who we can't help but root for. I don't know. I haven't seen Cards, but I imagine Lightning
that's
McQueen.
That's pretty spot on.
Okay, that works. So it's got to be Chris. It's Chris. Ooh, Chris is the guy who didn't have a lot of shine on him at first, and we were always believers, and then he comes through in big time. I'm going with Chris, and I had to make somebody Chris.
I like that. I like that a lot, actually. I went with Pat Connaughton.
He's just
someone who's he just exudes confidence and just like cool, calm, collected, you know. And he's I guess he's like sort of an under I mean yeah like same with Chris, second round pick and stuff, but you know, he's always working his way up, he's always confident, so you know, gotta go with Pat Compton.
I like it.
Well, those are great answers. I think that's all I got for you guys. You guys have anything else really quick before we get out of here?
I just want to say I feel bad for you guys.
Uh-oh.
Not because of your chances or anything. You barely got to see any Chris Middleton. I was looking back. The November game, Chris gets hurt and only plays like 20 minutes.
Oh, that's true.
And he misses the second game entirely with an unrelated injury, which, I mean,
that was a heck of a game.
Yeah, not for you guys. That actually was a game where I was like, the Bucks were kind of like
the 40-point game. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Whatever it was. So that was rough.
The Bucks were looking up and down, and then they went out and just absolutely wallop a really good Thunder team. And I was like, oh, that's good feeling.
We were,
win.
Like, hot too. But you're right. No, we didn't really get to play much against Chris, which like during the season we'll absolutely take it because we want those wins. But also as a fan, it's really fun to watch the best players play.
It's okay, you'll see
him
in the finals.
Yeah, there we go. I love it.
I'm actually very optimistic going against for OKC's chances here.
I like it. I like it. Well, hey, we might have to get you guys on like a post-game podcast or something. Or I doubt this. I guess this probably wouldn't happen looking at the schedule. But if the Bucks or Thunder were to play each other before the season, like during this regular season resumption, we'll have to get you guys back on.
Absolutely.
But thank you guys again, Ty and Rohan, co-hosts of the Eurostep podcast, for coming on. Be sure to absolutely go and check out the Eurostep. Again, that's G-Y-R-O for obvious reasons. Pretty awesome. Part of the Blue Wire family, just like we are. We're super proud to have him on and I'm really grateful. Be sure to check out Ty's stuff over at his Patreon account. That's Ty, T-I, Windisch, W-I-N-D-I-S-C-H. Or sorry, Windisch. And you can find Ty on Twitter at the same. That's his Twitter handle. And Rohan is at R-K-A... T-T-I-G-J-R, sorry. I had to kind of squint there. So be sure to give those guys a follow, and because we really appreciate them coming on and talking about a really fun team in the Milwaukee Bucks. So thank you guys again.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much. This was fun.
Hey, once again, I just want to say thank you to our guests this week, Keith Smith, Adam Corsair, and then Ty Windisch and Rohan Kadi. Can't thank you guys enough. We hope you listeners enjoyed this episode. We hope you enjoyed all of the Under the Bubble episodes so far. If you haven't listened to episode 1 and 2 yet, we would highly encourage you to go back and download, get caught up on all things Eastern Conference basketball. And starting next week, we are in the Western Conference. We will cover all Western Conference teams, culminating on the last week of the show. We will do an episode completely dedicated to the Oklahoma City Thunder. You guys stay safe out there. Please continue to wash your hands, distance, wear a mask so we can get COVID out of here. Hope you're excited for basketball, and we will be back with you this Friday for another episode of The Uncontested. You guys have a great end of your week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.